Hello, and welcome to the San Carlos Computer Club podcast. I am your host, Scott Stimson, the head IT consultant for International Computer Solutions. If you're looking for computer solutions anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate it if you'd get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. And this is the San Carlos Computer Club meeting for July 18th, 2020. Our Streamio presentation. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the procedures for using Streamio to find video content for free on the internet. Tech on. Here comes Cheryl.
So, Paul, where are you located?
I'm in San Pedro, the port of Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Been in my house.
Been there since March.
That's right, at least four months.
Oh God, 19 weeks of these meetings. This is our 19th meeting in a virtual format.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are you holding up, Cheryl?
What was that?
What was Cheryl holding up?
Actually, I was turning on my speaker, and it's just my sleeve.
Oh. So, Paul, how's Peggy?
She's doing fine. Yeah, she's doing good.
Have you been out yet?
No.
Really?
Out in the backyard, that's it.
I would go out. I'd go running or go to the beach, but it's 95 degrees. I don't go anywhere except in front of the air conditioner. It has nothing.
It is 82 this morning in Colorado, and that is pretty warm for 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, if it was 80 something, I would be out trying to get some exercise, but instead I'm just sweating inside the house.
You need to go at 5.
What, when it's 91 degrees? Actually, I shouldn't complain. Today I woke up and it was in the 80s. Hey, Ed's going to join us. Hello, Ed.
Oh.
We haven't seen...
Hey, Ed.
We're just getting started, Ed. We got about five minutes till we're taking it seriously. Until then, we're just screwing off. Bill, you have got that sound coming across your speaker somewhere, across your microphone somewhere.
It's still there?
It's still there. It's really faint now. It's not as...
It's kind of like a ring noise.
I always think it sounds like a coffee grinder, like a slow coffee grinder.
What am I doing wrong?
Now you're in, Ed.
Oh. Ed, you're not doing anything wrong. Welcome. Welcome to the Computer Club. In case you're curious, I've already hit the YouTube streaming button, but this isn't our official time to start yet. So we are live, but we're just messing around right now. Well, it's hard to say we haven't taken ourselves seriously because we haven't done that the whole time we've had this group.
Yeah, really.
For you, I'm serious always.
Yes, yes, you definitely are. We've gotten to know you quite well, Judy, and you've got to be the most serious of all of us.
Actually, I've been out to dinner a couple of times, only outside, not an inside restaurant, but that's been interesting. It's a little unnerving.
Yeah, it sure feels like outside dining with social distancing shouldn't be a problem.
What I'm hoping that is still going to happen in San Carlos in October after I vote.
After you vote?
After I vote.
Well, I have some news about San Carlos.
Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
Well, my realtor... You're still there. My realtor wrote me an email last night and said they closed down San Carlos.
Yeah, in your typical Mexican fashion, they have put a filter up at the front of San Carlos. But it's really convoluted how it's working, because they say that you have to be a resident of San Carlos to get in. And so what that really is it's stopping people from Guaymas from... Wow, Bill, that's not any better.
I read that article on one of the boards, and it made no sense. It said that even when I read it in Spanish and translated it in my head, it still made no sense.
Yeah, I found it pretty confusing, because basically they're saying that if you've got, and I don't know who they are, this is just what's being said.
It's some group that met. They had a picture of this safety forum kind of group.
Yeah, now I saw that, and that read to me like definitely San Carlos is not open to non-residents.
Right.
But okay. But then there's other information going around saying that, well, to be clear, if you've got hotel reservations, if you've rented a place, then you can get into San Carlos as well. And that's where it all breaks down for me. It's like just not very clear. It's
the same thing that they were supposed to be doing before.
Yeah. I think how it's going to play out is everybody's going to get into town, but slowly, like 4th of July.
Right. Well, like when they first started too. You know, I do have a copy of my phone bill just in case my permanente doesn't work, but I do have a copy of my phone bill with me.
I think they've successfully convinced me just to stay at home. I don't want to go. I would hate to come back to San Carlos and not be able to get in. I'd be like, look, hey, I'm like the whitest guy.
Supposedly closing San Carlos to anyone that doesn't live here or has a previous rental. We'll see how long that lasts and how they'll enforce it.
Yeah. And so they've got pictures at the front of town where they've set up one of those revision sites. They've got a Coca-Cola tent of all things, and they're just blocking traffic, and they just block traffic, and they interview, and you tell them who you are. This is the way these things go down. And if they don't believe that you're a resident of San Carlos, then you have to provide some documentation, some phone bill or something that indicates that you're a resident of the area. But you know, this stuff always goes down the same way. I mean, like, here's an email from Tammy saying, I've rented a house for the weekend that I'm supposed to be here. Right? Well, right. That probably gets you in. Or even better, the way things go on around here, it's like, hey, Juan, I didn't know you were bringing the family to San Carlos for the weekend. Come on through. I see a lot of that going to happen.
Did anybody see Elizabeth Hovey's post about the beaches? I don't know whether it's still up or not, but she was on a real rampage about all the people that are allowed on the beaches.
Well, what has happened is they've released their instructions and their date for opening the beaches. And so on the 20th, the beaches are open.
With the 12 or the 2 meter rule, right?
Yeah, I think it's actually a 4 meter rule. Maybe
4 feet. I was thinking it was 12 feet. Yeah.
Yeah, 4 meter rule. That's on the sand as well as in the water. You have to maintain social distance of 4 meters, and then there are. I'm sorry, Judy. What was that?
I think that's good if they enforce that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, in Mexico, they have not approached it as an enforcement position. They've dealt with it as a public health issue. And so I bet there won't be police on the beach making sure people are 4 meters away. They're saying if you want to be on the beach, you should be 4 meters away. They're also saying that as you come and go from the beach, you have to wear a mask. And again, I don't think there's going to be police at the entrance of the beaches making sure you're wearing a mask. I think in Mexican style, you don't want to die or cause other people to die. So this is where you have to wear a mask. This is how you have to behave on the beach. I got to say, I feel fortunate that when my wife goes shopping at Lay's, she doesn't find some crazy lunatic trying to cough on her. I mean, that alone's a great reason to be in San Carlos during this time period. Hey, it looks like we're about to start. We have reached 9 o'clock, and this is actually our official time to start the San Carlos Computer Club. And I'm very happy to see how many people have shown up for our special Streamio demonstration, I guess. I've set up a couple of things on my end. I hope you guys can see what I'm going to do. If we have time, I'll go over some advanced Streamio stuff, but I put together kind of a deck here of what we're going to be covering. And so I'm going to run that at the same time. It's basically to prompt me so I can stay on target. I don't, you all know me as somebody that can digress really easily. And so I went ahead and made myself cliff notes to keep me going. So this is going to be our look at Streamio. And Streamio itself is a streaming application that should be able to give you access to the kinds of content you're looking for when you go to a YouTube or Netflix. But the idea is that it's all in front of you. And I just mentioned YouTube and Netflix and Prime, and we'll probably end up mentioning these things. But really, Streamio has no affiliation with those applications. And really, until you get into some advanced Streamio, there's no reason to have any of those apps. You don't need those apps installed to make Streamio work. So I'm just going to cover some basic Streamio stuff today. We're going to talk a little bit about what Streamio is, very little bit about it because it's pretty straightforward. Downloading and installing Streamio. How to set it up, which the reason we're having this conversation is because it's real easy to set up, and how to use it, which is fairly straightforward. And then if we find ourselves with some extra time at the end, I'll talk about some advanced stuff that I've done with Streamio that I find really, really neat. So Streamio is really a multi-content media search and player that's available for free on the internet. And you can download a version of it for Windows, Macintosh, iOS, Android. That's what we care about. We care about a kind of Netflix experience, but kind of unlimited content. To the developers, what Streamio really is a... I'm getting a phone call, which really means I forgot to put my Do Not Disturb on. It's really a platform. And this is where it becomes so powerful, is because developers from all walks of life, from whatever website they may be enthusiastic about, they can set up their own Streamio add-on. And the add-ons are really what makes Streamio so powerful. We're going to use it for our typical TV club type stuff. But as we get into it, you're gonna see how powerful this platform can be for these kinds of things. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to go to the website. We talked about these versions aside from the Apple is available on their website, which I'm going to go to right now. It's streamio.com. And if it takes forever to download, it won't matter because I've already downloaded it. So this is what the main page looks like. And you can choose the version you want. I'm going to go to, it says download Streamio right here. I'm going to click on it. It's gone ahead and just downloaded it for me. This is the Windows. It's downloaded it. These other downloads will bring you to the other versions that are available. And the Windows version is about 80 megs. So depending on the speed of your internet connection, that may or may not be convenient. This is the page I was trying to bring up. This is the downloads page, and you can see the Windows version, the Macintosh version. There's versions for Linux, and if you're a Linux user, Linux has its equivalent of app stores, and so many times you can find Streamio listed in their app stores, but you can download it directly. Streamio for Android.
Scott,
yes.
Hey, Scott, that page is pretty blurry. I even put on my glasses and it's still blurry.
Let's see here. Where am I? Do. Is that easier to see? Do I need to go into presentation mode?
No, Scott, it's okay if you pin your thing.
Judy?
I'll try that. I'm going to pin Scott.
Okay.
Maybe.
So Android is such an interesting beast because there are vetted app stores as well as you can sideload. So you're able to download one of these versions of Android Streamio to your device. And if you've turned off the security for installs, like you can install from anywhere, you can install from a third party, it'll just install. But it is available in the Google Play Store. And I know Bill was messing around with, he got the Google Play Store on his Fire tablet. That's the way I would recommend installing it. It's just the easiest way to get it installed. I don't believe it's in the Amazon store. And then for iOS devices like the iPhone, the iPad, you get it from the App Store.
Scott?
Yes.
I'm in the App Store on my iPhone.
Yes.
And it has Streamio Organizer.
Yes. Now, this is the thing. I'm not sure why it uses that language, but there's a bit of a disclaimer here with the Apple stuff, because the App Store has some restrictions in their terms and conditions. And so the version that you're able to download from the App Store is not fully featured. And so you really are limited by the add-ons that are available for the iOS version.
So would I be better off going to the .com, like to the website?
You won't get it in your iOS device without the App Store. But if you want it on a Macintosh computer, I would go to the website. If I want it on a Windows computer, I'd go to a website. And depending on what kind of Android device I have, I may want to go to the website for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as your iPhone or your iPad, the version that you install must come from the App Store, and that version is slightly handicapped. They can't release all their add-ons to it because of the terms of service of the App Store. For Apple, it's an Apple thing. I hope that helps.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yes, it does.
It did download while I was here, but I've still got it. I'm going to go and install it because it's very easy to install in Windows. I'm going to just click on the installer. It should take just a moment. I minimized my.
Which version we're supposed to install?
In what respect? There's a Windows version and a Mac version, and for the Macintosh side of things, it would either be before or after, I think it's 10.12. I think it says right there on the, let me bring the website back up here. Under Windows, there is not alternate versions.
Okay.
Under Mac OS, there is a version for everything from Sierra up. And if you're using an older one like El Capitan.
I see that. Okay.
Yeah, so there's two different versions. And then for Linux, I'm not going to go through every distribution because I know you guys aren't big Linux users. If you're a big Linux user, you know what's going on. You know what you need. Or you should. And then on the Android side of things, my recommendation is get it from the Play Store. That way you know it's a vetted copy. It's it should be safe. It's because it's there. Because it's in the App Store, that means that Google has had its programs run through it to make sure it's safe. So that's where I would get it. So I'm still installing right now, but I haven't had to do anything yet. At some point, it's going
to... Oh, that's installing. Can I ask how your internet's been?
You know, it's been interesting. I think we all lost internet in San Carlos for about 10 minutes. Oh, that's odd. There we go. I guess my internet is a little flaky this morning. I just noticed that I was disconnected from the YouTube server for a moment. Yesterday, if you guys noticed problems using internet, going to various sites, or if you're like me, you've set your DNS to be Cloudflare's 1.1.1.1, then you lost all internet in your house. And it's because Cloudflare had a hiccup in one of their routers, and it brought down large sections of the internet for about 25 minutes yesterday.
Are you talking worldwide or Mexico?
Worldwide, it could have been affected. Because Cloudflare is such a large distributed platform that's used for such a large portion of the internet's infrastructure, when it had a problem, it manifested in a large percentage of the internet going down, maybe something like 15 to 20% of the internet going down. So you either had to be using Cloudflare's DNS system directly, which I am, and so I lost all internet in my house because I rely on them for DNS, and when you rely on a DNS provider and it disappears, you can't look up name addresses anymore. You can't type in CNN.com and find their site. And since I've got that configured across my network, my whole network was unable to look up name addresses, which means that you're practically handicapped on the internet. You can't really do anything. Other people would have just had problems with certain services. And I actually didn't mean to get so deep in this. I didn't go out and look at what services went down. But there are specific services out there. And this is by no means on Cloudflare, but it's something like a GitHub or a Hotmail. Something like that could be using Cloudflare as its backbone. And because of the burp it had yesterday, it would have manifested as a problem for you. You would have tried to go to that site and it would have been gone.
Scott.
Yes.
On the Irving. On the Premio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Streamio. On the Premio, I'm trying to I went to the store and it says Streamio organized, and it says it's not for streaming. So I must have the wrong item.
Unfortunately, Irving, that's what I was getting at, is that the version of Streamio that's put in the Apple Store, the App Store for iOS devices like your iPad or your iPhone, it's a handicapped version, and it's because of the terms of service of the App Store. So I don't think you're going to be satisfied with the version that's there. Streamio has an official position that they will be making more add-ons available as it becomes possible. But right now, it's limited to their authorized apps. And that's really not the reason we're here. We're here to look at their community apps, and we'll get into that in just a bit. So if you want to take advantage of this, you can use it on a Fire Stick. You can use it on an Android TV. You can use it on an Android device, an Android phone, or an Android tablet. And you can use it on a Windows computer, or you can use it on a Macintosh computer and take full advantage of it. It's simply the iOS devices, the iPhone, the iPad, those kinds of devices that cannot use the full version of Streamio. If you're watching my screen, you'll see that it finished its installation. And in the installation, at the end, it's got these three checkboxes. One, it's going to just run Streamio when I hit finish. The second one is desktop shortcut. That's just to put one on the desktop. And the last one is associate Streamio with torrent files. This is a little bit into advanced Streamio, and I'm not going to bother going through it, but I'm going to say it's safe to just hit finish. There's no reason to change any of those checkboxes. You can throw away the desktop icon if you decide that's what you want to do. I'm going to let it run, and you can see it created a desktop shortcut for me on the computer. And in a moment, it's going to appear. I don't know if you can tell because of my color scheme, but if you look down in my taskbar, there is this button here. This is a Streamio button right here in the lower right-hand corner. Whenever that's being displayed, and remember that can be hidden in this lists, in this drawer of a system task. It could be hidden in here. But whenever that's displayed, Streamio is running. If you minimize Streamio, it will stay running in that task browser. You can see this is the first time I've turned it on today. It's just been installed, and it's the first time I've turned it on today because it's taking a while to gear itself up. And so the idea is that when you minimize it, it's still running down here in the taskbar because it wants easy access to the information that's out there. All right. I hope everybody's seeing this screen without any problem. I'm going to full screen it so it's very clear. I hope this is very clear. We need to go forward. We need to accept the terms and conditions. It's a slide button here we click on.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Windows Defender Firewall has blocked some features of this app. It says public network or private networks and allow access.
You want to allow access.
On the private network and the public.
Yes, well, you will find you're using it in private networks, like your home. Public networks, it's really up to you. A public network would be like a Wi-Fi in a coffee shop.
Okay.
And like any other internet application, when you utilize it, you are opening up ports that can be accessed from the internet. That means there's always a potential for a compromise. But I would argue that any app that you use on the internet, if it's not practicing good security, could be compromised. And so you're at no more risk than any other app that's out there that you might use on the internet.
Okay.
So if you're looking at this screen, you can see this switch to green. There is no reason to accept the privacy policy. I mean, essentially, I imagine that switch is... Well, yeah, I haven't given you the next step yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you don't have to select accept to receive marketing communications. That's just a junk mail switch. That's just authorized. It's opting into junk mail. So the only switch you should need is accept the terms and conditions. Oh, here comes Stanley. So... Now what you want to do, this is the way that I recommend using Streamio. Right now, you don't need to have an account. You don't need to sign up for an account. You can, well, actually, what I should say is you can use an anonymous guest account. There's no reason to sign in with Facebook, and there's no reason to sign up for an account. I have no idea how long they'll allow this practice to go on. The whole time I've been using Streamio, I've been using it anonymously. I recommend it because you'll feel more comfortable about your usage. There are features that you can take advantage of if you have an account, but there hasn't been a grand implementation of features that I think makes sense to use it with. So guest login, do you see that, Cheryl? Should be.
I already created an email account.
All right.
I moved ahead of you, sorry.
You're a student just like all my worst students. You're not waiting for instructions. That's okay. But if you hit guest login, you're immediately in.
Okay.
How
about some juice?
See, you can already tell that I have given more description and more attention to this than it actually needed, because it was obviously so straightforward. Just guest login, accept the terms and conditions, guest login. Both of those things will be set from now on. So if I shut this off and turn it back on, it's just going to present me with this view. And this view is called the board. The board.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Stanley. Did you have a question?
Yeah. I've heard every word you said, but it went in one ear, didn't even go out the other one. It stuck somewhere inside.
Well, we were just going through how you should use Streamio. I recommend using it with a guest account. I just think it'll make you feel more comfortable about your usage. They're not tracking what you're doing. And until they require us to have an... At some point, they're going to figure out how to monetize this thing. And they're definitely going to want you to have your own account because they're going to be able to keep track of marketing information. But right now, they're letting us just use anonymous accounts.
I have a question, too. You said that that is constantly running in your dock. Don't know that I like that.
Well, on the Macintosh, it doesn't work that way. And on the Windows machine, all you have to do is click with the right mouse button and choose quit.
Okay.
Yeah. On the Mac, it doesn't have that running all the time.
Okay.
I should say it's so obvious what it's doing on the Mac that I only mention it because it's not obvious on the Windows.
Okay.
So this is called the board. We're on the board. And on the board, this is a fresh installation. I've made no changes. I've added nothing. We're going to go through setup at this point. And I just want you to take a look at, we're seeing a list of top movies here. The next row down, we're looking at a list of top series. These are lists that are curated by some source out there on the internet. Movies by ratings. Ideally, this is taking a list from somewhere like IMDb or maybe Streamio itself, and these are the top-rated movies right now. Series by rating. Any of these, just like a Netflix, you could click on, and it would give you information about the movie. I just clicked on Joker. I hope you all can see that without any problem. Tells us the director, tells us the cast. If you go down in the lower left-hand corner here, you can see Show More. Show More actually gives you a summary of the movie. Show Less brings you back to the previous page. Some of these will have a trailer, so you can click on the trailer and it'll start playing a trailer for you. So here's the other function over here on the left-hand or the right-hand column is showing you where you can watch this content. And you'll look, vanilla, just a plain vanilla installation of Streamio. And what I've brought up is Cinemax.com, MicrosoftStore.com. It's got the pricing right there for watching the show. Apple iTunes. There's the pricing. It's in pesos. It's regional. Google Play Movies. It's got the pricing right there. Mobistar Play. That's a Mobistar subscription. On a side note, if you've got a Mobistar cell phone, you may have a cell phone plan that allows you to use Mobistar Play and watch videos for free. Just like if you have a Telmex account, at Telmex for your internet, they have Claro Video for free for you to use. But this is the vanilla, this is the authorized and sanctioned way to use Streamio. What we discussed when we first got into Streamio is developers out there can use this platform to access their websites or websites they're enthusiastic about. That includes sites like the Pirate Bay, torrent sites that are out there, you know, questionable sites. And all those are easily added to Streamio by going to the plugins. And the plugins, or the add-ons, I'm sorry, they're called add-ons in Streamio language, can be found by this puzzle piece. When we go into add-ons, This is the add-ons page, and it has defaulted to the community add-ons. This is like an app store in itself, but they're very simple. In fact, the community add-ons has come up. It's come up and it's sorted them by movies, by community add-on, and it's got two of the ones I would want to use right off the bat. The Torrentio, I guess that's it. This is an all-encompassing add-on that searches sites like the Pirate Bay, Kickass Torrents, YTS, Easy TV. You may recognize some of these names, 1337. These are sites out there that have just become synonymous with torrenting content. Now watch me install this. I click the install button. I click the install button. Now it's installed. I'll install the Pirate Bay Plus. Click the install button. Click the install button. Now it's installed. When I've done that, those two plugins are now part of my selection of add-ons for when I go looking for content. So I'm going to use this back button in the upper left-hand corner, and that'll take me back to the movie The Joker we were just looking at. And you'll find that I've got more add-ons. This is actually taking its own sweet time. And here it's got the results of the Torrentino plugin. All of these are results from the Torrentino plugin. And that plugin is showing me the name of the file that's out there, showing me the size of the file. There's some 20 gigabyte 4K files here. And okay. it's also showing the number of sources. So like in this file I'm hovering over right now has 25 known seeders out there. That's a pretty amply available file. But as we go through these, you can find, here's one with 1,151 sources right off the bat. Let's just try this one. It's a 1080p. I'm going to click on it.
Scott, just before you do that, okay, so the sources is the first number with the little person icon?
That's right.
And the next thing is the size of the file?
So if that is, this has got Chinese subtitles on it. Say that again. I think
I
mean. Oh, because they're talking. I'm sorry, you guys can't hear the audio because it's. I've got the video going through our meeting, but I don't have the audio going through our meeting. But it is in English. How do you know it's in English? Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you've clicked on something that looks like it should work, and then you get into it and it's French. But I have to say that's less seldom.
Subtitles.
Well, thank you, Judy. I was just going to bring that up, but I was going to go after. You know, I'm recording this. I'm streaming it. We're doing a meeting, and so I'm thinking 1080p probably is a little weighty for all this happening at the same time. So I'm just going to go through my availability here and find something at 720p because I just know it'll be nicer on our experience. There's some right there. There's some 720s. And if you're looking at this, it shows there's 297 sources. The file is a 1.42 gigabyte file. And it looks like it has multiple subtitles with it. If I look at the title of the file, somebody conveniently wrote the word English in the title. So I know right off the bat it's going to be an English file. But I know that because I just read the title. So I'm going to hit play and away we go. Now, what you're watching here is a low-lighted logo. And as the logo fills up with light, it's buffering. Look, it doesn't even like this file for some reason. Something about this availability is causing it distress. Is it going to come in?
Okay, I clicked on one of these, and the movie's on really good, but it's all subtitled.
Okay, so some of these files come with their subtitle in the video. But what I was going to show you is that subtitles are installed by default by Streamio. Pardon me, I'm trying to get out of this right now. But it's delayed because I'm trying to broadcast it to you at the same time. So I'm inadvertently clicking too many times.
Oh, is this the new movie Greyhound that you just went by?
Yeah. So I'm waiting for this to load up at the moment.
So can I back up just one second?
Sure,
so
yeah, yeah, please.
Want to watch, for example, Joker, you find a movie you want to watch, and then when you click on that movie, it'll show all these options, like how much it'll cost you if you buy it regularly, or if it's available on Torrentino or on Pirate Box or something like Pirate Bay or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, let's say that the official plugins point you in the direction of official sources, but Streamio is a platform, and any website developer or any web developer can build an add-on for Streamio, having that add-on point to content on the internet. And some of those add-ons are these torrent sites. If we go back to the add-ons, what you'll find is it's like an app store of possibilities. This Juan Carlos 2 is a good one, too. I'm going to install that while we're here. There are some specialized add-ons, like here's one from Brazil, where it promises to find you Brazilian dubbed movies, mainstream movies, but with a Brazilian dub. We're going through here. There's individual torrent sites. Archive.org is here. I mean, that's an example of it. If you, on the board, you would like to see a list of what they have available to watch. Archive.org has archived movies, and so that'll bring up a list of those. Anime sites have their own plugins. IMDb music videos. Porn, there's porn right here. There's Snag Films. This is, I believe you have to have a Snag Films account to get into it, but this is a bunch of independently produced movies. So you can see that this isn't limited to just the behavior that we tend to be using it for. I mean, it really is a platform that people are building stuff for. So you can play around with it and decide what plugins work best for you. I've picked a couple.
So does this go over to your Roku device or not?
Well, if you have screen sharing on your Roku, because this is really the issue with the Roku, is that you don't have a way of casting over to it unless you have a Roku that will support screen sharing. Now, there are other devices like an Android TV or a Fire Stick, and I actually set up my Android TV. Can you guys see that okay? This is my Android TV. In case you're curious, I figured out how to do this using TeamViewer. I've installed TeamViewer on my Android box. And it's allowing me to see it in a window and cast it to you guys. Let me make sure. Yeah, you can see my... Now, let me go back here for a second. Where am I? Right here. Let me just say, if you're using an Android device like a Fire Stick or an Android TV, I definitely would have a keyboard and a mouse for it. Everything that you might do with these devices is easier with a keyboard and a mouse. In this case, you can see from my display that I am in a window going to my Android TV, and I can use the keyboard and mouse on my desktop to do this. But if I was using the Android TV, I would have to use that keyboard and mouse.
Scott?
Yes.
Juan Carlos, did you do the Juan Carlos Torrents, Juan Carlos 2? Which Juan Carlos?
Yeah, sometimes these plugins are a little confusing. I'm going into Streamio now on the Android TV.
So you're on the TV?
I'm on the TV now.
You can put this on the TV, the Streamio on your...
On your IP TV boxes, Linda, those Android-based boxes, you can download this from the Google Play Store, or you can use one of those links from the download page to install it if you don't want to associate it with a Google account.
Okay, so I know that, but how about on the television itself? No?
Well, your TV, like, for example, there are Sony TVs out there that are Android-based TVs, so you could install it in that. But it would have to be Android-based.
Okay, so you'd have to bring up your Chrome app on your television and then install it through there.
Well, maybe. It would depend on the model and how they've set permissions on it.
Okay.
I mean, just like I know you can install it in your Android phone and you can install it in your Fire tablet, but the way you install it on both those devices depends on the manufacturer.
Okay, well, I just installed it on my Samsung tablet.
Okay. So then your next step would be to get in as a guest login. And
I did that.
And then go into add-ons and start selecting add-ons. When you find add-ons that work for what you're doing, then you want to be sure you'll pull cruff out of your way so that it's a much better experience. I would not install, even though it's very easy to install 100 add-ons, it gets cumbersome when you're looking for content. So I would go on some recommended add-ons to start with and then play with each one that you might be curious about individually. See how it changes the board window. See how it changes. We haven't gotten into it yet, but I was going to go into discovery next. Right now, this is how it looks on an Android device. The board is in this hamburger menu in the left. You just click on the menu. There's board, discovery, my library, settings, and add-ons. Let me switch over to the Windows version. Board, discovery, library, calendar. Go along the top. It's all the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
In discovery, things are listed by movie, series, channels, and other. And then you have genres or filters, like the top movies, action movies, adventure movies. Do you guys see what I'm clicking on here?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's creating different lists of content based on those genres.
So could you choose a new movie that's in the theaters so that we can see what comes up?
Well, I could, but remember that the add-ons we're using are these kind of questionable add-ons. So your mileage may vary. Actually, this isn't in the theater yet, is it?
What is it? I can't tell.
It's Black Widow, but I don't think it's...
Black Widow?
Oh, wow. Wow, look at that. Well, apparently there's something out there. See, this, it says it's a Blu-ray rip. Wow. But I would think if this is anything, it would be a copy off of a Handycam.
Right, like buying a DVD at the Tianga.
Right. Well, actually, even that might be a better quality. Also, if you look at the file names, like right here, it has misconstrued this file as Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, okay.
And that all has to do with being so new and availability that it's trying hard to find what you're looking for, but it's not really available out there. And so the results are getting bad. Here's Popeye.
Oh, okay.
So anything that's in the theater right now is kind of questionable depending on the plugins you're using and the services you're using.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here's one that says it's in the theater. It's Mulan. I'm picking it because it says it's in the theater, but I also know it's readily available. I don't know if that's because Disney has put it on Disney Plus and then somebody stuck it out there on the internet. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's spent enough time in the movie theater at this point, but it is definitely available.
That was scheduled to be done next year or something. They pushed that back.
Mulan, well, they didn't push it back a year, but they did push it back, what was it, right as Black Lives Matter was starting.
Right.
And so I haven't been paying attention to maybe required to view all videos. Oh.
What does that mean?
Well, again, this comes down to I'm trying to grab it too early. This is a promotional thing that's ended up in my feed, and I'm just going to back out of it. It's just a little video, like this website that I've gone to, and this doesn't happen very often, but it happens a lot with brand new content. I'm just waiting for this back button. And again, I'm just waiting because I've got too much stuff going on and my computer is overtaxed with a burden to hit that back button. Come on. In fact, maybe I'll just switch over to
the... Because I got it came up too.
Here we go.
We don't have to put that in?
Say again?
The XVID codec, we don't have to put that in?
No, in fact, Linda, to understand that correctly, is what's happened is we went looking for new content. This, one of the websites that recognizes you're looking for that movie but doesn't have it, is throwing up a commercial instead of the content. You understand that? And so it's not giving us any instructions that help us. It's not giving us any information. And I'm sorry we're even focusing on it because it so seldom happens that it doesn't justify your Streamio experience. Brand new content.
Okay.
All I have to do is step away from these in cinema choices.
Okay.
And I would have a much better experience.
Okay.
And the exception are the content that's on services like Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime. Those are in cinema. They're listed as in cinema, but they're also online immediately. And so those are typically available, like this Palm Springs should be readily available because it's a Netflix production. Somebody's already grabbed it and stuck it in other places on the internet. Let me grab one that. I'm sorry.
I was able to play the Greyhound one.
Oh,
yeah, that's a good example of readily available. It's a Netflix production, and somebody's grabbed. Somebody's grabbed a copy of it and stuck it out there in a corner of the internet.
Yeah, it played fine in Torrentino 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought the Greyhound though was you had to buy it on Netflix.
Well, if you want to go that route, but we're talking about Streamio, and Streamio is about accessing content on sites across the internet, not necessarily those sites. Like I said at the beginning, none of this is dependent on Netflix or Prime or Hulu, any of those applications. This is its own thing.
So we can't get this Black Widow.
I don't think it's been released in the theaters yet. I think it's listed here incorrectly.
Every one of these Pirate Bays comes up with that codec sign.
Yeah, I think you're pursuing the wrong kind of content because you're going to have a bad experience. There is stuff like we watched Hamilton. Here's Hamilton. Oh my gosh, did I actually hit the 4K? I did. My whole thing might fall apart. It may be too much for my computer to handle. Talking to you guys and trying to watch Hamilton. In fact, if I can back out of it now, I will. There we go. Let me go down to a lower quality one because it'll be less taxing on my computer. Here, Hamilton, an HD rip. Here we go. 720, 842 seaters. So this should be readily available. This should be Hamilton. Bill, I'm going to mute you. You've still got that sound coming through. Cheryl's out of here. Sorry, Cheryl.
I'm out of here too, Scott.
Oh, yeah?
We got places to go, things to do, people to see. Even though I really am enjoying this, I'm going to have to miss it. I'll go on YouTube.
Yeah, and maybe we'll get into some advanced stuff in the next... Because I found some other cool stuff here.
Okay, see ya.
See ya, Bill. Oh, this is funny. There we go. Okay. That black screen should be a good sign. Here we go. Hamilton's starting. Of course, you guys aren't going to be able to listen to it. Because I don't have the audio going through. Here, let me crank that on a bit. Now, there's a stuttering chop. That could be my computer. It could be my internet speed. Or it could just be the file I picked. If it was persistent, then I would back up. And I would pick a different file. So you can see this isn't a Chinese rip. There isn't Chinese subtitles on it.
Thank you and enjoy my show.
You know what I just realized?
Hamilton is still...
What's that?
It's Hamilton.
Yes, it's Hamilton.
It's Hamilton.
Right. But I got to stop it. In fact, I got to switch screens. I'm sorry. If I let this roll too long on YouTube, they're gonna kill me. Go away. All right. Come on, where'd my app go? There it is. Can you guys hear the audio? Oh, can you hear me? Can I hear you?
No, I can hear you.
Okay, good. I'm good. My concern is YouTube shutting me down. This experience Bill and I had when we tried to do a watch party is immediately they shut me down. I'm trying to get it turned off. I'm trying to turn it off right now, YouTube. If you're listening to me, my computer is just so busy giving us a great Hamilton presentation that it won't give me back control of the application. Let me say, I use this app on the computer that is connected to my TV, my 65-inch in the living room. I use it on the Android TV, which you can see right here before you. And I do not have anywhere near the kinds of issues that I'm having right now trying to show it to you guys. So I'm convinced that the pausing and the lack of response when I click on things is directly related to me trying to run this whole show at the same time. I don't believe it's going to be the experience you have if you run this software. So,
you can't just right click on the bottom and say shut up, quit.
Well, that's what I finally did. Yeah, I finally just shut down the whole show because 1080p streaming at me fast and beautiful and it's looking great, but the computer's so busy with it and us that it's not giving me the ability to access the back button. It's not. So I just turned the whole thing off. And now what we're looking at is my Android TV. And I was going to go into add-ons here. And I was going to show you the official add-ons. And with the cleanup kind of mentality, I would uninstall YouTube, WatchHub. I like subtitles, so I would leave subtitles installed. These are all official add-ons that are available right when you start, right when you install it. But this Cinemeta, you can't uninstall that. That's actually where all the content comes from. When you look at a movie poster or you read a synopsis, that comes from this plugin. And it's vital for the software to work, and you cannot remove it. YouTube is an extra. What it does is it creates a bar in your board for YouTube. I've got it uninstalled right now, but it would be one of these bars specifically for what YouTube finds interesting. I don't want it in there. I'm not interested in using this for YouTube, so I've uninstalled it. I'm going back to add-ons. Up here, I'm choosing official again. Also, this Watch Hub, this is really responsible for the results in iTunes, Hulu, Amazon, Netflix. If you're not using any of those services, I would just uninstall it because it's fodder. It's just extra cruff in your experience. You're never going to use those results. It is the official plugins, but you can uninstall it. And then I like to have subtitles ready all the time, so I leave that installed. This last one is fairly new to me. I hadn't paid any attention to it until recently. I don't know when it came on the scene, but it's official and you can't remove it. This plugin actually looks at your device and sees if you have any content to watch and then creates a bar in your board for local files. If you had downloaded a program, in my experience, it found movies that I had to home movies, and it had done a lousy job of associating it with content. So it was like my wife's Christmas presentation with the dancers, and it was labeled something like 2012, the destruction movie. So it's got to be something they're still working on. So at the top of the board, here are things that are continually being watched. So I was watching a movie and I stopped it. I paused. So if I want to come back to it, this has more or less where the positioning is in the movie. I'm bringing up Blade Runner 2049 right now. It should, this is a difference between the Android version and the Windows version, is it doesn't show me which one of these. Pull up a different file when you return. Many times it will start from the beginning again. I have too many options in here. I should take out a couple of plugins just because I'm wading through too many options to watch something. What I'm looking for is a low quality easily available. If you have a really fast internet and you have a fast computer, or you have a good streaming box, then any of these could be readily available. Here's one right here, 720, 203 Cedars. That's the bigger the number, the better the availability. And it's a 1.2 gigabyte file, so it's not a ridiculous file to try and use. The beauty of me doing it this way is this is happening on my Android TV, so it's not, I'm not being hurt by our presentation here. It's not adding a lot of weight to my computer. You see how this logo is filling up with color? That's all buffering. That's just indicating to us that it's buffering. And it should be ready to go in just a moment. YTS from history. I'm familiar with it. It's a fairly reliable server.
So I take it I have a Sony Android TV. So I take it I could probably get it on that.
As long as Sony has allowed you the ability to install from a third party.
I believe it does.
If it does, then you should be able to work it out. And Stanley, if you have any problems, let me know. I've been in your TV before. I'm sure we could do it.
Okay, thanks.
So since we've got this going right now, I just want to show you the Android version's a little different when it comes to things like subtitles. They're up here in the upper right-hand corner. In the Windows version, they're in the lower right-hand corner. I want to pause this. Come on. Pause. I wonder if I can use my keyboard, even though I can't. No, it doesn't like my keyboard. I accidentally got out of the content.
So if you're unable to go back to where you were, what's the point of having those?
Well, okay, actually, what happens is Streamio caches stuff. And so I bet if I hit this right now, I'll probably go right back to it. Yeah, because it's in the file cache. And so where I was watching it and from which server I was getting it from is still stored in there. And so it will try and connect me right to that position. But if you've gone away from it or you have exceeded the cache space, then it will have to look it up again. And so it's more a visual clue of where you are in it, because it more than likely, and this is another reason that I would be conservative on the plugins I install. I would focus on installing the right plugins, not a lot of plugins.
Who's I?
Hey. It's a Blade Runner eye from somebody. I want to see subtitles come up. Come on. Okay, this is the Android experience with this software. So on Windows, in real time, as you're watching the movie, this menu will come up. On Android, it pauses the movie and you go to a new screen. Subtitles are available in various languages. They're available to turn off if you look in the upper right-hand corner over there. This, you could turn off subtitles altogether. I have English selected. and I have the first subtitle selected, and that's by default. If the subtitles were out of sync or they weren't working at all, I would immediately just try selection number 2 of English, selection number 3 of English. This list is how many subtitles may be available for this content. And they're all based on that subtitle plugin, Open Subtitles, that is installed by default. I'm going to bring Streamio up again on my PC. I think. Or maybe I'm not. Here it is. Okay. I just wanted to compare and contrast, so I'm starting Streamio on my PC again. So, this is the Android TV for subtitles. This the PC version will be popping up in just a moment. If you can't get any satisfaction with switching subtitles, then if they're out of sync, you can use this time period here. You can actually time how out of sync they are, and you can change it. You can add or subtract seconds to how the offset of subtitles should be. You can go into negative seconds, like pause for a half a second or 2 seconds until it matches up with the dialogue. I find, though, just by switching to a new set of subtitles, many times they sync right up. Do you see I've brought up Streamio on my PC? It doesn't say use a guest account. I'm going to say sign up with email. I immediately am able to select the terms of service and the guest login again. And I'm going to go into just content I know is out there. Wonder how my internet's looking. Well, my computer is working very hard. Just do it. Just do it.
Doing anyway.
I just wanted to bring up some content. Oh. See, I just installed this version. I should have pulled that watch. Right now it's using Watch Hub to find out where else we could find this content. If I had followed my own rules right after we were done, I would have just cleaned it up. I would have uninstalled those in this PC version. For some reason, I'm just getting horrible bandwidth right now. I'm not sure why. Is it finally responding? Okay, it's finally responding. I'm going to go and find some. SD stands for standard version. Anything that says SD or 480, those are going to be so easy to download. They require very little bandwidth. Here's a Juan Carlos II standard edition of this. We're going to let this come in. So the logo is flashing. The logo should stop flashing and go low lighted, which means that it's starting to buffer, and then it should fill up with color as it's buffering. And here I thought I grabbed something that would be readily available. But I'm not wasting any more time on it. I'm hitting the back button. And I'm not going to hit it again because that keeps getting me in trouble because it's just taking a while for the back. I'm going to go back over to the Android TV for a moment. I'm going to get out of these subtitle settings. Okay, we're back again.
Okay, I got the Greyhound movie.
Yeah, you should. I saw it was out there. ...443 seaters on the Pirate Bay plugin. Let's see if this works. There we go. You see how it's filling up with color right now? So this is the move on that. It's going to take a moment to give me control because of how I've talked before. Come on. So this particular file that I've pulled up actually has Chinese subtitles on it. It's not the subtitle function. It is this particular video file.
I'm going to have to say goodbye for now.
All right, Stanley. We'll talk to you later.
Goodbye, Stanley.
Okay, bye.
Well, I'm really disappointed that I'm having such a horrible time using this interface while interacting with you guys. Because this is not the experience I have. And if you're following along and you've done your own install, I think you're having a better experience than I am right now with the Windows version of this. I should be able to hit this button right here. It's not coming up. I should be able to hit the back button. It should, but it's just, oh, let me try something. Let me try just walking away from my display for a second. Now, I'm just going back to the Android because I've got control over that one, and the version I'm running while we're doing this is not working well on the computer. So this was the Blade Runner movie playing, and the subtitle selection was in the upper right-hand corner for that. Right here. Let's get out of playing, unless you guys have questions about it. I think this is all straightforward. I think I'm really just beating concepts to death because it actually works so easily. I've made it more complicated by talking about it. I think the biggest takeaway from this is how easily it installs, how you can use a guest account for it, picking out the add-ons, how these plugins work. And then what we haven't covered really is, well, and we did a little bit. We covered discovery. Movies, TV series, channels. These are movies organized by top. Year, rated, or tracks, top. If you have a track plugin, it will This is actually something that I could talk about as far as advanced features. I use a track account. Genres. Let's just click on a documentary genre. The top documentaries. So, one of the things that I have Streamio running in three or four different locations. And so I like to keep track of what I want to watch. I got to bring you back to this Windows version though. I have an account called track.com. It keeps track of the shows I watch and the movies I watch. It also allows me to keep a list of things that I want to watch. I would recommend a track account. They're free. And they can integrate into programs like Streamio. So that when you do watch something on Streamio, it will put a check in your track account that you watched that. Or you're in the midst of watching it. Or if you're in a TV series, like you're watching Game of Thrones and you're only on season 2, episode 3, it'll keep track of that. So that when you come back to an installation, you can come right back to where you were. Streamio, it's handled just under the settings of the Windows or the Macintosh versions. Right here is where I can set up my track account. Oh, this is new to me. Well, since we are running out of time, maybe I'll put this on the if we do advanced stuff list. Because tracking itself is a whole other topic. It just makes it easy to keep track of everything that you've been watching. I see there's just three of us left or four of us left. Do you guys have any questions for me about this? You guys really have hung on well. I wish I was showing you a better experience. I would encourage you to try it yourself because you'll have a better experience than I'm having trying to use it in a presentation. And some of the advanced stuff that I'm talking about is there's lists of the best add-ons, the best plugins to download. So I'll put some links to those best add-ons articles in the post that I make for today's meeting. We didn't cover My Library, but My Library is a way for you to tag content that you want to be able to find as your collection, and then you go into My Library and you would find those movies that are tagged, those movies and TV shows that are tagged. When you go into content, it actually has a button, remove or add to your library. You see right here, watch trailer, but there's also remove from library. I've got this content. If I click that, it's out of my library. Now it says add to library. If I go back to the library list that I was just showing you, you can see that content is gone. So I might use track for discovery for later. I might just be flipping through here going, I'm interested in watching Little Women at some point, so I'll click on that. And I see, oh yeah, this is Little Women. I don't want to watch it right now, so I can click Add to Library. It gives a little notice up here. It's been added to my library. I'm backing out of this, going back to my experience. I decide to go to my library. Looking under movies, and there's Little Women right there. So you can create your collection of things that you want to watch, and then you find it very easily in this menu under My Library. Discovery's broken into movies and TV shows. Here's TV shows. It's the same deal. Family Guy, I click on that. Family Guy will be broken into seasons. Along the top here, you see season 1, season 2, season 3. It's got a synopsis of each episode. You click on an episode. It will pull up that column on the right of all the content providers. This is important to read the titles of these files you're looking at. You can see Family Guy, what it brought up at the Pirate Bay is seasons 1 through 9. That's what it's called. This is season 3, episode 1. That 301 means that. So this is exactly what I was looking for. Am I? Here it is coming up.
I'm doing good. How's everything with you?
I'm just muting Irving. Loading the sub. So it's got the subtitles running right now. Let me get a better view here. Oh, I know what I'm doing. Here we go. Yeah. So you can see those subtitles are on right now by default. If I want those subtitles gone, I click up here in the corner, which is really easy to do with a mouse and really hard to do with a remote control, so I recommend a keyboard and mouse for an Android TV. In the upper right-hand corner, I'm going to click on that button, turn them off, and then I'm going to hit the back button in the upper left-hand corner. Return to the content. Now I can start playing it again. And now the subtitles are gone. I'm going to hit the back button and get out of this. So what you can see is that finding content is a different function than watching content. It's a different provider. It's a whole different methodology. It's like the application has been divided into two main sections. And one section is that discovering of content. And the other section is playing that content. The things that you find are used to search in sources. This is another TV series divided by seasons. I'm going to add it to my library. I'm season 1, episode 1. Just clicked on that. And to the right, here's all the possibilities for watching it. Look at the title name, the availability. Here's one that has 124 availability. It's a 1.2 gigabyte file from the Pirate Bay. If you guys don't have any questions, I think I'm done with this.
I have a different question.
Sure.
You have an American line, Scott?
An American line? What do you mean?
A U.S. line, telephone line?
A telephone line? Well, you could get to me through our bed and breakfast line if you needed to, but I can make American calls from my Mexican line. Would you like me to give you a call sometime?
Give me a call when you get a chance. It's the 1911 number if you have it.
Okay. If not, I'll get with you over email and then you can send it to me.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, so should we wrap this up since we're the last ones left in this group?
Thanks, Scott.
Yes.
Good presentation today.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Irving, I hope you guys got a lot out of it. Paul, if not, go back to the YouTube video. Maybe as you play with it and run into things, it'll become clearer what we covered. Yeah. But I think I'm going to say goodbye because we're at 10:25, and this is kind of the time that we end our computer club meeting. Like I mentioned, this will be on YouTube. You can get links to YouTube videos and podcasts from our website at sccclub.org. So if you're looking for this and other things like this, you can find them through our website at sccclub.org. Like I said, I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. If you're on the internet looking for solutions, why not look to me? You can get a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. As well as you can check out our website, internationalcs.net. Irving, how soon did you want to hear from me? You want me to give you a call right after this?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon then. And I'll talk to you guys, if not sooner, next week. Until then.
Good day, everyone.
Tech on.
Take care, everyone.
Take care.